Hammer.com. I'm Jared. That is Kyle over there. Let's go and talk to our very good buddy on the Wings Center Hammerhead Hotline, Mr. Tom Deanhart of goldandblack.com, up early with us. Good morning, Mr. Deanhart. How are you this morning?
Doing good, doing good. You know, big weekend for Purdue, obviously. Basketball game, huge win against Indiana. And, boy, you look at where this team was, what, just about a month or so ago. People probably had some doubts. You know, was this an NCAA tournament team? Now, guys, some people are wondering, could this team maybe win the Big Ten? I mean, it's been an incredible change of fortunes.
You think the biggest surprise out of that game on Saturday was the fact that Romeo Langford had more stars in his recruiting profile than he did points on the court?
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? No doubt about it. You know, I think we all felt Ogil Eastern could have some success against Langford, but 2 for 10, 4 points, brick and free throws. I mean, it was just an incredible, great effort by Eastern on ending. Like you said, you know, Jared, for Langford to have that type of an effort, I think surprised everybody.
It was only a month or so ago, maybe 6 weeks now, that we couldn't figure out whether Purdue was going to play more than about 5 to 10 minutes of solid defensive basketball for an entire game. I think that's been the one area that has changed the most here during this recent run, right? That they are playing more consistent defensive basketball for much longer. I mean, you could argue 40 minutes a game. I mean, that has been a change that has been very welcomed by Purdue and really has been one of the big reasons why they've been on this streak.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that Maryland win, that they showed some good team defense that game, but by and large, like you said, Kyle, the defensive effort collectively had not been that good through the early, November, December portion of the season. And that's been a big change and a big reason why Purdue now is, sitting at 5-2 in the Big Ten. The defensive effort, and also we have to talk about just protecting the basketball, not turning the basketball over. That's been a real key to the success for Purdue. And you got to talk about Carson Edwards then, right? Particularly the last couple games, he's done a great job being a facilitator and not being quite as reckless as he had been earlier this year. So, again, team defense and not turning the ball over have been a couple of big keys for Purdue in this hot stretch here where they won, I think, 6 or 7 games.
We're talking with Tom Deanhart of goldandblack.com. Tom, you know, in Matt Painter's post game, he made a comment about the difference maybe between Purdue and IU and why Purdue has had success in this rivalry over the last 8 matchups or so. He brings up the fact that you can get guys here at Purdue, and they may not be as highly regarded or highly recruited, but they value them because they take care of the basketball. They do the right things, and they can grow them over 4 years as opposed to maybe IU's getting these guys like Romeo, who's going to come in for what they suspect a year, and then they bail on the program. How much stock do you take into something like that? Because certainly there are programs that are able to bring in kids like Romeo, have success for 1 year, and then they're gone. But, you know, places like Kentucky, places like Duke. So is that an apt description of what the main problem is with IU right now?
Well, I think that may be part of it. I think a big part for IU is the injuries. I mean, they've really been decimated with some key guys going down and some key guys not being 100%. I understand what Coach Painter was saying. There's nothing like developing a team, developing chemistry, developing a bond and an identity over the course of a 4-year college career. Purdue's shown that to be a successful formula during the history of the program, honestly. But again, you really need that elite talent to really punch your ticket to a Final Fours and national championships. I think, you guys pointed out Kentucky, Duke, and the others. They get the one and doneers, and that may not be real good for team chemistry, but again, you typically need those 4 or 5-star players if you really want to win national championships and go to Final Fours on a consistent basis. So, you know what, Purdue, like I said, has done a good job with its formula. And look, you can still get to a Final Four. I mean, I always think about Loyola most recently, Wichita State, you know, schools like that that have gotten to the Final Four that haven't had four-star talent. So it's been fun to watch Painter be able to develop teams over the years.
Travion Williams got himself in a little bit of foul trouble in the game on Saturday, yet he still manages 13 minutes and scores 8 points in that. I mean, continues to be as productive as he can be. How much has he changed what Purdue's been able to do here recently?
Yeah, being able to work the ball inside out now with a true pivot who can score in the paint, I think he's really opened things up. When you are able to throw the ball inside to a guy like Williams, again, that allows you to spread the floor. And I tell you what, guys, Williams can do a lot of things, and one of the most impressive is his ability to pass the basketball. It's uncanny for a guy of his youth and his size. So, again, that's been a big asset. So, again, now Purdue looks kind of like it did last year in some ways where they can throw that ball inside. And late in that game, we saw that Williams still able to be sort of there, I guess, Purdue's finisher, if you're looking for a good term for it. And he was key there as a scorer and as a facilitator. So it's been really fun to watch that kid develop. And you wonder what he's going to look like once he's been in the program for a year or two, really training that body, really changing his diet, and continuing, of course, to work on his skills. He could really be a special player.
Tom Deanhart from GoldBlack.com on the Wings to Center Hammerhead Hotline. Tom, put on your Vegas handicapper hat here for the Boilermakers. Where do you set the line at where they should finish at in the Big Ten? Right now, the four seed, if you were going into the tournament today, sitting at 5-2. Behind them, the Iowa Hawkeyes at 5-3, who you got a win over. Minnesota's at 4-3. Wisconsin at 4-3, who you got that win over. Still, your game behind Michigan, who you've lost to. The Terrapins are up there at 7-1 as well. You've beaten them, so. Where would you put that line for where you think Purdue should finish by the end of conference play?
You know, 3 or 4 to me seems pretty reasonable, doesn't it? I'd love to see what you guys think, but I was looking at those standings last night. I'm sort of rubbing my chin. I wonder how good is the Big Ten? I guess that's still up for debate. We know for sure there's two elite teams, Michigan, Michigan State. You know, Jared, you talked about Maryland, which Purdue beat, but they look awfully good with those two big guys in particular, Jalen Smith and Bruno Fernando. But and then there's Purdue, still with his two Big Ten losses. Iowa and Nebraska, I think, is a good team as well. I think they're going to come on. So, yeah, you know, if I was really backed in their corner, I would say 3 is probably their ceiling and no lower than 5 at this point. Purdue does look like an NCAA tournament team, obviously. Maybe a 6 to a 9 type of a seeded team. But still, there's a lot of basketball to go. Very soon, Michigan State will roll into West Lafayette. And the fans thought that Indiana game was a big one. Boy, that Spartan one's going to be huge.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Tom, I feel like there's, you know, top 4 teams have sort of separated themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan, and then throw Purdue in there as that 4th team. I feel like this Purdue team is a little bit above sort of that rest, you know, right? Those next 6 teams, I feel like, are somewhat indistinguishable in some ways. You know, Iowa, Minnesota,
yeah.
Wisconsin, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio State, sort of just throw them all in the mix and see where they're going to sort out. Now, maybe Purdue comes back to the pack there a little bit. I think they're the one out of that top 4 that you're still not 100% convinced about. But, man, those other ones, you'd start to look ahead to the NCAA tournament trying to figure out, you know, whether the Big Ten gets 8, whether it gets 9, whether, as some people have speculated, it gets 10 in. Trying to separate some of those teams is going to be a little bit difficult.
Really, you're right. And look at the bottom of the conference. There's what, about 4 teams, maybe 5, that are have no shot. Talking about Rutgers, you know, Penn State, Illinois, you know, Northwestern's really sort of having, I think, a disappointing year. Maybe too early to throw Ohio State in there, but speaking of Ohio State, guys, that's Purdue's next opponent. And if the Boilermakers are as good as people think, you don't want to call it a must-win, right? But golly, if Purdue really is a top 4 team, like sounds like all of us think, you got to go into Columbus and get a win.
Well, you talk about it as a must-win. It's probably a must-win for Ohio State, right? The Buckeyes have lost 4 straight games. I mean, they cannot fall to 2-5 and expect to be a team. You know, they were ranked, what, 15th in the country at one point. To be 2-5 after Wednesday, I think, would be a pretty big hill to climb for Ohio State to get back in the mix.
Again, I would like to think if Purdue's as good as I think, you have to go on the road. And those are the type of road games you have to win. If you're, I think, a top four Big Ten team. We all agree, it sounds like Ohio State obviously was overrated as a program in a little bit of transition. And you have to be able to go to Columbus. I know that's been a house of horrors for Purdue over the years. They've only won in that new arena a handful of times, maybe just one or two. Yeah. And it's never easy going on the road. We know that. But again, like you said, Kyle, it's a Buckeye team that's really struggling. I know it's dangerous, and they're desperate for a win. And beating a team like Purdue would do wonders for Chris Holtman's crew. But this would be a nice test for Purdue. You know, they're riding high. We know that. They're playing great basketball. Now you're rolling in to a venue that you've struggled in against a team that's really struggling. Can you continue to take care of business and keep this ball rolling?
Tom, before we let you go, another milestone for Purdue football as with Juwan Bentley and the Patriots going to the Super Bowl. This will be 20 straight years a Purdue player has been on a roster for the Super Bowl. Just talk about how amazing that is in this day and age.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? You know, we all know Purdue had a run there of, what, about 8 years between Tiller and Brohm, where, you know, they really struggled. And for them to still be able to produce not just NFL players, but NFL players who've gone to the Super Bowl, pretty remarkable, really. So, yeah, it's been fun to see. And, you know, speaking of the Patriots, isn't it uncanny how Bill Belichick seems to have an affinity for Purdue players? I mean, it's been nuts going back with Matt Light, obviously, the offensive tackle, and Rob Ninkovich in particular. Now, of course, Juwan Bentley. It's been fun to see Purdue be part of that incredible run the Patriots have had. Guys, I can't believe this. I can't believe 9 Super Bowls for Belichick and Brady. Unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely makes Chuck Nolan, Terry Bradshaw look like chump change at that point, doesn't it?
It is. You know, I think I'm getting – I'm obviously tired of it, a little disappointed the Chiefs couldn't do it last night. But, again, part of me has to just take a couple steps back and just look in awe what they've been able to do in this salary cap era, this free agency era where they're never drafted high and they've never fallen off the cliff from 2001 until today for an 18-year period. It's unbelievable.
Tom Dienhart, goldenblack.com. Buddy, we always appreciate having you on the program here. Enjoy your Monday. Thanks so much.
Hey, stay warm, fellas. Thank you.
Take care, bud. All right, we'll come back. We'll figure out what we learned today. That's next on 101.7 The Hammer.
At Kelly Engineering, we have been serving farmers since 1972. As your local dealer for Ag Leader, Henniker, True Ag, and more, we offer industry-leading technologies from steering to planting to harvest and everything in between. Whether you want a customized starter system, a field-ready toolbar, or help with your data, Kelly Engineering in Brookston has the experience to help you achieve your goals. Visit us online today at kellyeng.com and bring purpose to your precision ag.
Hello, I'm Mark, the manager at Midas of Lafayette. We have all the expertise needed to take care of your car. From brakes, to tires, to oil, to everything. You can count on Midas to tell you what needs fixing now and what can wait. So whether your check engine light just went on, you remembered that it's time for your regularly scheduled oil change, or you'd like a great price on new tires, come see me at Midas at 804 Sagamore Parkway North for brakes, tires, oil, everything. Trust the Midas touch.